Excited to be here with all of you this morning, and looking forward to sharing a little bit about what the Lord's put in my heart to share with you for this new year. Time is flying, isn't it? I feel like the older you get, the faster time goes by. Does anyone else feel that way, or is that just me? Time, it goes by so quick, but you know, we're excited for 2019, and we're praising God for what He did in 2018, but we're all looking forward to what He's going to do in 2019. Before we get started, I wanted to open up with a song. It's called Be Still and Know That He is God. It's a song that many of us know by Stephen Curtis Chapman. And I wanted to sing this song just to kind of generalize what we're going to talk about this morning in the sense of just stopping and just meditating on who our Savior is. Just meditating on what He did this last year. Being still and knowing that He is God, that He is holy, bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. You know, we live in New Jersey where life is so busy. There's so much going on. There's so much noise going on. And, you know, in this song it says, let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Consider all that He has done. Stand in awe and be amazed and know that He will never change. How many of you are praising God this morning that we worship a Savior who's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever? You know, He never changes. I change. You change. We all change. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. But God never changes. We worship a Savior who never changes. The song continues on saying, be speechless. Be still and know that He is God. Come rest your head upon Him. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart of love. Beating for His little ones, calling us to come. Be still, and know that He is God. And you know what's the funny part about this song? And I want to just share a little story before I sing. Is that okay? Growing up, probably I was about maybe 14 years old, close to 15 years old. My dad was one day in the car with us. We just started coming to Fifth Avenue Chapel. My dad was a new believer in Christ, just brand new in the faith. And we just started coming to Fifth Avenue Chapel, and my dad started listening to different music. And guess what song he put one day in the car? I think it was a cassette tape at that time. And it was this song, Be Still and Know That I Am God. And you know what's the interesting part? I remember looking at my dad and telling him, Dad, why don't you change this music? It's so boring. Like, it has no meaning. I don't understand it. It sounds like a depressing song. Can you please change it? Put something fun. And I remember my dad just looking back and saying, son, this is for the Lord. And I just kind of, he said, you know, if you want to listen to something else, then, you know, you can go outside the car and go home. No, Dad, put it on. And so I remember my dad putting on that song, and I remember me sitting in there listening to that song. And you never know when your little ones are actually listening. You never know the impact that you're having in their lives. And That had a huge impact in my life. He started listening to Steve Green, and guess what I like today? I love listening to Steve Green. He liked listening to Michael W. Smith. I like listening to that today. And so it's kind of interesting that the song I'm going to be singing this morning was actually a song that I didn't like back then and now. But you see how God transforms the hearts of men and women. Amen? He transforms us. And so may God receive the glory for this song, and may He be honored as we continue to serve Him in this new year. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine. Bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful.
that He will never change. Be still. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Be still. Be speechless. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know He is our Father. Come rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart of love, beating for His little ones, calling each of us to come. Be still. Be still.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much again for Your goodness, Your grace. Father, this morning we just want to praise Your name. And we thank You, Father, for what You did in 2018. And this morning, Father, thank You for this opportunity You've given us all to spend some time in Your precious Word. We're thankful for this assembly. We're thankful for the fellowship that You've blessed us with. Father, we pray this morning that this message would not be for me, but it would be from You, Lord. Father, we pray that everyone would be encouraged as they walk out these doors, that we would just be excited for the year 2019, that, Lord, we would just be so grateful for this opportunity to serve You. And Father, we pray that You would help us to grow in our faith. Help us, Father, not to stay stuck in our faith, Father, but we may grow in the grace and truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our desire, Father, for this year, that we may grow closer to You, that we our desire for You may continue to be so huge in our lives that we would realize that we can't live without You, Father. And so, Father, we thank You again for this morning. And thank You again, Father, for this opportunity that You've given us to seek You in the Scriptures and in prayer this morning. We love You. We praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. So Happy New Year. Thank you, Paul. Be still and know that He is God. Amen. Let's rejoice in stopping and reflecting and asking God to help us to grow in our faith. So Happy New Year, everyone. Psalm 65:11 is the first slide that we have here this morning. It says, you crown the year with Your goodness, and Your path drips with abundance. So I desire that for all of you this year. Happy New Year. May we all continue to grow in the grace and love of Christ this morning. And so this morning, I'm excited to share with you a Happy New Year's message. There's a couple of different points I want to share this morning. The theme of the message this morning is going to be the R's of the New Year. The R's of the New Year. And so we're going to look at a couple different points this morning. We'll see if we can get to all four of them, but we'll get to it as quickly as possible. But I kind of just want to start off with a quote. As I was preparing for this message, I thought of this this sentence here, and I wanted to share just kind of a summary of this message and what is my prayer for 2019 as we consider serving God. It says, may this year not become another year of repetitive failed resolutions, right? How many of us in all the past years of our lives have made resolutions and not fulfilled them? How many? I mean, I've done it. I think I do it every year. All right. I always make resolutions. I say I'm going to keep them, and I fail, and I don't keep them. So, you know, my prayer through this message and the encouragement I want to share with all of you this morning is that may this year not become another year of repetitive failed resolutions, but a transformed revolutionize life for the glory of God in this new year and years to come. Amen? Let's pray for a revolution in our own lives, our own personal lives, as we follow Christ. And let's pray for a year of transformation as well. You know, the moment a Christian starts thinking that he doesn't need to grow anymore, that's a big red flag. You know, we are always in dire need of growth. And, you know, the year 2018, you can talk to Lizbeth. She can share with you a lot of areas where I need to grow in my faith. And I'm really excited to trust in Christ this year to help me in those areas. But thinking of New Year's resolutions, I wanted to start off this morning pointing out, I looked at a research online, and I put on Google, top 10 New Year's resolutions of 2018. And so I kind of put here a list of different types of New Year's resolutions that people might be having for next year. The first one is eating healthier. I know that's one I failed for so long. Getting more exercise, saving more money, focusing on self-care, reading more, making new friends, learning a new skill, getting a new job, taking up a new hobby, and then sometimes many of us have this New Year's resolution. I don't plan on making any New Year's resolutions this year. Sometimes we're so discouraged from failing the resolutions of last year, so you know what, I'm not going to have any. We'll play it by ear. But you know, this morning, it is great to have New Year's resolutions like these. They're great. But you know, this morning, what I really want to encourage all of you, like the quote I shared with you earlier, let's think of, instead of thinking of temporary New Year's resolutions or resolutions that have a temporary impact, let's have New Year's resolutions or New Year's goals that are going to have an impact for eternity. Let's pray about those goals. And this morning, I want you to really think about what kind of New Year's resolutions you could have this year that will bring you closer to the Lord. And I'm going to share a bunch of resolutions and goals that the Mendieta family has. I'm going to share that at the end. But I want you to think about that too. What are some New Year's resolutions that you are thinking of for this year? So let's start off with the first R, New Year's remembrance. This morning, how many of you had a wonderful time remembering the Lord this morning? What a great time. Before we could even get into anything about 2019, I think it's important too that we also remember to have a New Year's remembrance of what God did last year too. So I want to ask all of you this morning, what are some things, some testimonies? Let's share as an assembly what God has done this year. So I'm going to ask you guys to get involved here a little bit this morning. Is that okay? Let's anyone, maybe like three or four people, we have a lot of people representing different states here this morning. We have the Skeletons from Florida. We have the Hernandez from Iowa. I lived in Venezuela some time. We have different people representing different states here this morning. We have the Elliots representing Pennsylvania. So let's have an assembly right now. Let's share some things that God has done in 2018 that you were excited about. Let's start. Anyone, just shout it out. What encouraged you this past 2018? You can give any kind of example, like Vacation Bible School this past year. I think we had the largest amount. I stole yours. Share. Go ahead, brother. Start it off. What about VBS that you were grateful for?
It was great to see so many kids coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think some of them are coming to Friday Night Lights too, right? That's an amazing testimony, and they're really enjoying the kids' program, so praise God for that. Anyone else? A couple more?
I think just good health. I mean, we know a lot of people in this assembly have been suffering through many things. We praise God for the healings, and I think a lot of times as a family, when, hey, you know what, like, we're doing okay, a little sicknesses here and there, I think we forget to praise God. Hey, you know, He's preserving us and sparing us from a lot of things, but also praise for delivering us through the hard times too. So just good physical health, just to praise
Him. Amen. I have something I want to share this morning as well, but I definitely want to give maybe one or two more to share. Brother Hernandez, what are some things you can praise God for Emmaus?
Well,
or anything? Praise God.
I would also add Amy's mom, my mother-in-law passed away
sadness, it really is a testament to God's grace of a life well lived. And I think all of us have examples.
Yes.
Yes,
it's what a joy that He gives us the strength to move on. He sustains us daily. Maybe one more person? Doc.
My son turned his life around.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's praise God for people who came to Christ this year, right? You know, many came to a knowledge and a faith in Jesus. There's so many things to praise God for. And I just want to, before getting into the next R, I wanted to share with all of you a testimony of how I saw God's faithfulness even in 2018 in my own family's life. And I want to be a little personal this morning, and I'm sorry for that, but you know, I really want to give God all the glory. But all of you know my situation in the last, actually the end of the year was not the easiest for my family. It was really, really difficult. A lot of things going on health-wise. I know Joey just praised God for good health, and I definitely echo what Joey just said. You know, things could have been so much worse. Things can be so much worse. And we praise God for His preservation for us, don't we? And also, as believers, we don't fear death as well, right? Because we know where we're going to go. We know those who are in Christ Jesus, those who have made a decision for Christ, they know where they're going to be. They're going to be in eternal glory with God. And that's a great thing. But sometimes it's easy for us as believers to hold things in, not share things with others, keep it to ourselves. Sometimes we think that we can handle things on our own, and we sometimes become self-sufficient. I confess that in 2018, that was probably one of the biggest struggles that I had, was becoming self-sufficient. Not even just 2018, but also in 2017. You know, pride is a huge issue in the Christian life, isn't it? It's a huge issue that we battle, and especially myself as a man. And 2 years ago, something happened to me that I kept a secret for 2 years. I didn't want to share it with anyone. I wanted to keep it to myself. I still remember the day that it happened. I was at work. I went to the doctor and got some blood work done. And then a week went by and I got a call from a doctor and gave me the news that turned a lot of things around in my life. That really brought a huge amount of discouragement to me that day. It was not an easy day. I still remember like it was yesterday. I was in Eantown. I was at Walcott Park. I was taking my students at Easter Seals to the bathrooms, and I got that phone call giving me a diagnosis of something that I didn't know how to face, diabetes. And it was really, really difficult for me. I felt so ashamed. I felt so discouraged. I felt like, man, like, how did I let this happen? How did I allow this situation to occur? And being at that point, I was probably about almost on 285 pounds, maybe 290 pounds at that point, probably the heaviest I've ever been in my life. Gluttony is a sin that I've struggled with for many years. It was a wake-up call for me. And you know what? Our brother here just right now just expressed that he was praising God for a trial that came in his life. You know, may we continue to praise God, not just for the great things that happen, but also the tough things. The things that we don't understand, the things that discourage us, the things that bring us down. And you know what? This morning, I want to say something to you all. I praise God for that diagnosis. I praise God for all the things that happens in our lives. It really sparked a change that I needed to make in my life. And of course, we're stubborn, aren't we? You know, we think of the book of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 1 Samuel, and 2 Samuel. We look at the people of Israel. We see how stubborn they are. We see that all they had to do was obey God, follow His statutes, honor Him, and God would bless them and give them abundance of a life and the land flowing with milk and honey. But, you know, they made stubborn decisions. And even 2 years ago when I found out about the situation that I was going through, I was just like the people of Israel, continuing on in my stubbornness, continuing on my self-reliance, and not seeking the Lord for the change that I needed to have. This morning, we praise God for God's grace, don't we? God's grace is incredible. You know, the Lord Jesus said to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." How many of us really believe in that this morning? God's grace is sufficient. And last June, after being stubborn and not listening to my body and not listening to the Lord teaching me how I should change, and I just continuing on, going to Disney World and getting the dining pass at Disney World and eating like crazy, that's when things started going downhill. And that's when God really started waking me up, really started challenging me and waking me up on how I needed to change. And I want to just close with this testimony. I won't get into any more into this morning so we can get into our message. I really experienced God's grace in the last 3-4 months in a way that I probably would never comprehend without going through what I went through. At the end of November, my blood sugars were at 15. My A1C was at 15. And the blood sugar was about a 598. I could have gone into a diabetic coma. I could have had a stroke, could have had a heart attack. I could have had a list of things happen, but God's grace was sustaining me. God's care was over me. God is good, isn't he? Regardless of the trials we go through in life, even though I brought that upon myself, it was my fault that I was going through what I was going through, yet God still showed his grace to my family and I. Tremendous, isn't it? Tremendous. And so, this morning I want to start off the new year thanking every single one of you for your support and prayer, for your support and encouragement. This assembly has kept my family together. God has used you in ways that you probably don't even know that he used you for my family. Like, you guys have helped us so much in helping us raise our kids, helping us trust in the Lord, helping us grow in our faith. Your prayers have been so appreciated for my family and I. So this morning, I want to start off in 2019 just saying thank you to all of you. Praise God. Amen. This is not a bad story. This is a good story. A story of victory and a story of God getting us through those struggles. My sugar has been great for the past 2-3 months. It's gone down significantly, and God is doing a great work, and I'm praising him for what he's doing. So praise God. And I just wanted to share that testimony. We have so many to share, and we're looking forward to what he's going to continue to do in the coming year of 2019. And you know, God wants us to remember things, but he also wants us to forget things. There's a lot of things that we did that we don't want to remember, and that's okay. We don't have to remember those struggles. You know, Satan wants us to remember the struggles and the pain and the mistakes that we've made. You know, the mistakes I've made with what I went through with my eating habits, that's gone. That's over. Let's move on. Let's forget it. Let's go on. Let's look ahead to the prize that is Christ, as we read in Philippians chapter 3. Paul tells us, forgetting the things that are behind and looking forward to the prize that is Christ Jesus. Let's continue to look forward. Alexander McLaurin, a British Baptist preacher, made a great statement. He said, being in Christ, it is safe to forget the past. It is possible to be sure of the future. It is possible to be diligent in the present. So it's okay to forget the past. Let's learn from our mistakes, and let's keep going forward, and let's keep serving the Lord, and let's not get stuck in those areas. Amen? Let's move on. Let's continue to trust in the Lord. Let's have a healthy balance of forgetting and remembering. Also, let's pray that 2019 we will make godly decisions. We will continue to make godly decisions in all areas of life. New Year's resolutions that might be temporary, we can add spiritual also essence to that to help us. You know, I want to eat healthy. I want to, you know, continue to this journey of health, and not because I'm trying to improve my appearance, but because we want to serve the Lord. Amen. We want to be active in serving God. And, you know, when we're healthy and we're taking care of ourselves, that's also a good thing to serve God. So let's make right choices this year. And I want to open up. We can turn to our Bibles to Obadiah. And one of my spiritual New Year's resolutions this year is to study books of the Bible that I really haven't studied that much. So I wanted to start off this year looking at a book that possibly, maybe many of us, haven't really studied that much in the past. I really haven't studied this book really much at all in most of my Christian walk. How many of you here have read a good bit of Obadiah? You know, some of us. I really haven't until the last couple of weeks. I've read through it in the past, but I've never really looked at it. But the name Obadiah means worshiper of Yahweh, a servant of Yahweh. And Obadiah was a minor prophet. He was a man that spoke truth. And I want to read about this. I want to read this whole chapter together as an assembly. And it has to do with the Edomites. Everyone, many of us know who Jacob and Esau, they were brothers. And there was a lot of issues in that family. Jacob got the blessing. There was some bitterness and discontentment in the life of Esau. And unfortunately, making wrong choices and leading your family in the wrong way brings serious consequences. So this year, as we look at 2019, let's really pray about making the right choices in our families, individually, and even as an assembly. So I want to read this chapter. As I was preparing for this message, I was looking through different books of the Old Testament, I came across Obadiah, and it really just caused me to be still and to reflect on many of the wrong choices that the Edomites made in dealing with their family members and their descendants. So let's read this together, starting in verse 1. Obadiah is right after Amos, and it's before Jonah. So if you can find Jonah, just go back before, and you'll find Obadiah. But Obadiah had a vision, and it talked about the coming judgment of the Edomites. Let's read this together. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, Arise, and let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. Speaking of pride, here Obadiah confronts the Edomites about their pride. He says, The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. You who say in your heart, Who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. If thieves have come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasures shall be sought after. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. Not positive things to be reading, are we? But we see here that a lot of the choices the Edomites made led to these consequences. Let's keep reading. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom, and understanding from the mountains of Esau? Then your mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that everyone from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day the strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother, in the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah. In the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Verse 13. You should not have entered the gate of my people in that day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped. Nor should you have delivered up those among you who remained in the days of distress. For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall a nation drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. Some pretty tough words, isn't it? Pretty tough words. Verse 17. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau. For the Lord has spoken. Verse 19. The south shall possess the mountains of Esau, and the lowland shall possess Philistia. They shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captives of his host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath. The captives of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south. Then saviors shall come to the Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The consequence that the Edomites had to face were so severe. I'm not saying this morning that as believers, when we rebel against God, that we're going to be cut off. I'm not saying that at all whatsoever. But as believers, we can face serious consequences when we make decisions that aren't godly. And this morning, as I was before coming here and looking over Obadiah again, my heart breaks for the Edomites. You wish that that didn't happen to them. You wish that they made the right choices, that they would have honored God, and they would have, that even descendant after descendant would stop at one point, but we see that there was decisions being made in this family that caused serious consequences. And you know, as believers, we have a lot of, we're going to be making a lot of decisions for 2019, and let's pray that there are godly decisions, decisions led by the Lord, decisions that go aligned with Scripture, and it's very important. And a couple of years ago, as I was preparing for this, I thought about when I went to Fellowship of Christian Athletes for one summer. After getting saved there when I was 15, I kept going to camp for the next 2-3 years to FCA, and I heard a testimony that one coach shared about one student that was in high school that really left a huge impact in my life, that really made me think about choices that we need to make as believers that are so important. Choices that we make today, choices that we make tomorrow, choices that we make in the following years, it has a huge impact in our lives. And, you know, it's very important that we seek the Lord for direction. But I want to share a testimony that kind of can teach us how important any decision can be that we make on a daily basis. This coach got up in front of all about maybe 300-400 high school athletes at this auditorium many years ago at FCA, and he shared this testimony, and I will never forget it. He started up really speaking highly of a young man that he had contact with in discipleship, a young man that he loved, a young man that was loved by the community, that was actually the quarterback star of this one town. I forgot what state it was in. But he was a quarterback star. He had great grades. He loved the Lord, a great follower of Christ, a great example in his church, just phenomenal young man for the Lord. When people saw this young man, they saw greatness. They saw God doing great things through him, and they couldn't wait to see how God would use him. And for many, from his freshman year up until his senior year, you know, he was peer pressured many times by his classmates, his football players that were his classmates, to go to parties, to go do things that, you know, kids like to do in high school in the secular world. We all know what it's like. We all know what they like to do. And and so year after year, this young man that was a quarterback, he continually said no to all these temptations, to all these things that he knew would bring severe consequences in his life if he were to make that decision. And he was strong in his faith, and he did a lot of great things, and he said no. But his senior year, he had some great news. He found out that he was going to get a full scholarship to a great university. He was on top of his career. You know, pretty much scouts were really looking at him for professional football in the NFL, and he had everything going for him, absolutely everything. And they won the championships that year, and once again, after the game, the same thing that happened every single year freshman year, the same thing that happened every single year sophomore year, the same thing that happened every year junior year, and even the same thing that happened every year in your senior year, up till probably the last month of him right about to graduate and start this new journey of excitement in his life, his classmates once again told him, hey, we're going to go to this party, you want to come? And, you know, once again he said, you know what, no, I'm not going to do that. I think I'm just going to go home, get ready for me going away to school. And the friend just kept pressuring him, just kept urging, let's do it, let's go, let's go. And guess what happened? He finally said, you know what, it's my senior year. You know, it's the last, we won the championships. He thought to himself, you know what, I'm going to go. I'm going to enjoy my last month of school and go to this party. And guess what he did? He went to this party. Hung out with his friends. He said to himself, I'm just going to go. I'm not going to drink. I've never done that. I'm not going to start now. He went to the party. Once again, the friends were on his case, started peer pressuring him, and they told him, come on, just a couple of beers. Just one or two. Let's celebrate. We won. And they convinced him. And guess what he did? He drank a couple of beers, something he hasn't done for most of his high school career, most of his high school years. About a month to graduate. And when this coach was sharing this at FCA, his eyes were getting watery. He started getting very teary-eyed. And it was getting, the whole room was completely silent. A gymnasium full of 400, I don't know how many high school athletes, everybody was pitch quiet, listening to this coach share this story. This young man made some really poor choices. Really poor choices. After drinking maybe 2-3 beers, he realized that he made a mistake and he made a very poor decision again. Once again, went to his car, turned on the ignition, started heading home. Guess what happened? He ran into a tree and instantly died. One decision. He didn't lose his salvation. Once the scripture tells us, when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, when you're a believer in Christ, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen? We read that in Romans chapter 8. But it's heartbreaking. One choice. His whole life, he was making the right choices. All it takes is one bad decision. That's why this morning, when I share with you my story of me making bad decisions for years, I'm blown away by God's grace. I'm blown away that God, we don't understand why these things happen. And this coach, when he was sharing the story of this poor decision this athlete made, he was in tears. He was broken. He knew this young man. He saw the potential that he had for the glory of God. It's heartbreaking. So this year, for 2019, let's not be like the Edomites. Let's not make those wrong choices. Let's really pray to make those choices that will be best for the glory of God. And when it's for the glory of God, it's the best for our families and for our assembly. So we all need to make a choice. And this morning, if you haven't received Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know Jesus this morning, make the choice today to choose Christ. If you don't know him, you know, the gospel means good news. It means, and the reason why it means good news is because there was bad news before the good news. The bad news was that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. There's no one exempt from sin. All of us have done it. All of us deserve to go to hell. All of us deserve eternal condemnation. None of us deserve the grace of God. But Christ freely still gave it to us. So this morning, don't be like Pilate, a man who made the wrong choice. You know, Pilate made five deadly choices, okay? Pilate made five deadly choices. The five D's, okay? We talked about the R's, now we're with the D's. Pilate disclaimed Christ. Pilate disowned the choice. Pilate discussed with the wrong people about Christ. Pilate delayed every opportunity about Christ. Pilate was distracted by his pride. And Pilate had some insignificant consequence. I know we have a brother from Emmaus here this morning. I actually got a lot of these ideas from Emmaus Corresponding Course, where it talks about the booklet Men Who Met the Master. Okay? And it talks about Pilate making these horrible choices. He rejected the Savior. He rejected the Master. And it brought serious consequence. So this morning, if someone is here today who does not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, I beg you today to receive him today as your Lord and Savior. You have no promise that you're going to live tomorrow. You have no promise that you, when you walk out these doors here this morning, that you, when you go into your car and you drive out onto Main Street, that you're going to not get in a car accident and have instant death. There was a man that I heard a story once of a heavy lifter, ate healthy, had a six pack or maybe an eight pack, was a man of complete strength and ate healthy, and one day he was at a gym, started lifting the weights, went out the gym, had a heart attack, and instantly died. You're not protected from the first death. If you don't know Christ, this morning, I beg you, don't be like Pilate. Don't be like Pilate. Be like the man, the thief on the cross that was next to Christ. Be like him. A dying man became a delivered man. Okay? The thief on the cross was a dying man. God granted him the blessing of being next to Christ. This man didn't do anything worthy to be saved. This man lived a life of being involved in criminal activity. We don't know exactly what he did, but a person that was given the punishment of crucifixion on the cross, they had to do something pretty serious. They had to do something that was not looked upon well in society. So he was there because he knew he deserved to be there. And he saw Christ. He said, look at this man. He did nothing wrong. This man is perfect. He is innocent. And he rebuked the other thief who was mocking Christ. And he said, this man has done nothing wrong. And he looked to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I'm a dying man. And I know that you're the only one that can deliver me. Please, Lord. Please, you know, remember me when you go to your paradise. And what did Jesus say to him? Today, you shall be with me in paradise. The dying man, this thief who did it all wrong his whole life, the last moments of his life, made the perfect choice. He chose Christ. So this morning, if you haven't chosen Christ, please choose him today. Please, I plead with you, choose Christ. People who are in hell 1,000 years ago that are there are still there. You know, when you get convicted for a crime here and you go to jail, you can go to a court, you might get relieved, you might get time off, you might get parole, but in hell, there's no such thing as parole. In hell, there's no such thing as freedom. Once you're there, that's it. And you can only choose Christ while you're living and breathing on this earth. Choose him. Choose the Lord Jesus. So if you haven't come to Christ, if you haven't chosen him yet, please talk to one of us after the meeting. And in my closing prayer, if you want to give your life to Christ, pray with me in my closing prayer this morning. Choose the Lord Jesus Christ. Herod rejected Christ. Judas the betrayer, who was with Jesus, who was with him on a daily basis and saw the amazing things that he did every day, also rejected the Master. Heartbreaking that Pilate also rejected him. So let's make important decisions. But before making decisions for 2019, if you haven't made the decision to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, everything else is meaningless. This life is purposeless without Christ. How many of you thought of your life without Jesus? That's impossible to think of, right? Now that you have Christ in your life, I just think to myself, man, if Jesus was not in my life, I'd be a mess. I would be a wreck. Life would be so purposeless. You know, a lot of my coworkers that I talk to every day about faith, and a lot of them are agnostic, some of them are atheists, you know, they don't see any purpose in their life. But we as believers today can rejoice and give thanks that we have purpose. So don't be like Pilate. Don't disclaim Christ. Don't disown the choice. Don't discuss it with the wrong people. Don't delay the opportunity. And don't become distracted by your pride. We're all sinners and we all need Christ. We all need Christ. So let's praise God for the next R, the New Year's renewal. John MacArthur makes a statement here. Enter the coming year with a renewed hope in the power of God to do through you what you cannot. Charles Stanley says, although our New Year's resolution may quickly crumble, God's plans never fail. Amen? Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now I shall spring forth. Shall you not know of it? Psalm 51 verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Isaiah 40 verses 30 to 31 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall early fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Also, God is going to bring restoration in 2019. Amen. This morning, I want to ask you two questions. What areas do you need restoration in your life? Are there relationships in your life right now that needs restoration? Are there individuals that you haven't forgiven? Is there relationships that are still not have been resolved? God tells us to, if possible, live at all peace with all men. This morning may become the year of restoration with others that have maybe hurt us in our past. That can really affect our walk with God. And 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10 talks a lot about that. For the sake of time, we won't read it. Also, let's pray for reformation in our lives. May we always remember that in order to see change, we need to first look into our own lives first. We also need to remember that we need to continue to grow in our faith and sanctification. Romans chapter 12 is a great chapter of reformation and revolutionary change. And in your own time, we can read that. You can read that, Romans chapter 12. And so I'll close with this. I know I don't have a lot of time. Sorry for going over. But praise God for 2019. Amen. God's going to do great things. Do you believe it? How many of you believe it? How many of you believe that God is going to save family members in 2019? That God is going to restore families that have been broken? That God is going to unite this assembly even closer in 2018? How many of you have that desire this year? That we would be a closer assembly? My prayer is that my son and my daughter would come to Christ this year. I'm praying for that. That our children who are not walking with the Lord, let's pray that this year would be the year that they would return. Let's pray for revival again in our families. Let's pray for revival again in our assemblies. Let's pray for this year to have more opportunities for the gospel. Let's pray this year that we would have more quiet time and devotions daily, that we would make this the Word of God a priority in our life. And so I shared here a bunch of New Year's resolutions that my family has to rest in Christ, to pray and study God's Word together as a family, to trust Him more in the midst of trials, to seek direction as I continue my studies in school, more fellowship with the Lord's people. So to close, What are your spiritual New Year's resolutions this year? And so, let's believe in God for big things for 2019. Let's pray for a bigger VBS this year. Let's pray for more for kids to come to Christ at Friday Night Lights. Let's pray for kids at Red Bank Outreach to come to Christ. Let's pray for assemblies to continue to grow. Let's pray for more bilingual assemblies in Florida. Let's pray for more students at Emmaus Bible College dedicating their lives completely to the service of God. You know, let's pray for people in Pennsylvania to continue to seek the Lord. People in New Jersey, let's pray for atheists to come to Christ this year. Let's pray for agnostics to stop being unsure and to know that Christ is Savior and that Christ is the only way. Let's pray for loved ones who don't know Christ. God is going to do great things in 2019. Do you believe it? I don't believe you. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Praise God. And so pray for the Mendieta family. Pray for us. And we'll be praying for each other. And God's going to do amazing things this year. And I can't wait to serve God with all of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for what you are teaching us this year. Father, we thank you again as well for what you taught us last year. Father, we pray that we would not repeat those same mistakes. We pray, God, we acknowledge this morning that we can't serve you without you. We need you in every step of the way. This Christian life is impossible to live without our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, this morning we pray that you would be involved in all of our lives, that we would just say, Lord, we're here. We pray, God, that we won't make wrong choices this year like the Edomites did all those years. We pray, God, that we won't make the wrong choice, even like Eli made, the mentor of Samuel, not taking care of his own children. We pray that we would be like Job, a man who woke up every single morning, sacrificed for all of his children, which had the idea of maybe one of his children might have sinned against you, and he continually got up every morning faithfully for his children. Father, help us to be an assembly that grows stronger this year. Help that we pray, God, this year that we would be more of a light in our community, that we would shine greatly for your glory, not for us. We pray, God, that you would continue to bring revival in all of our lives. We pray for our health as well this year, God, that it would be not because we want to look better or be in a better of appearance, but, Father, that we would be able to serve you better. Everything is for you, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would be the priority in all of our lives. So, Father, we thank you. We pray that we would be still. We pray, God, that we wouldn't let the business of life take over. We pray, God, that we would. We pray for anyone here who hasn't made a decision for Christ yet, that they would make it today. We know that the scripture in Matthew says, come, my yoke is easy, and I will give you rest. That's what Christ said. And if you're here this morning, and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, Christ wants you to come to him. He wants you to run into his arms. He wants to be your Lord and Savior, and he wants to save you from your sins. And only he can do that. No one else can. There is no other name that we can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray this morning for anyone in our assembly who doesn't know you. We pray for the little ones to come to Christ as well. We pray for those that have strayed away to come back. We pray that 2019 will be a year that people would return to you. Those who grew up in the sound of God's word would return to who you are, which is Lord and Savior. We thank you and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.